just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. This is Pastor Belo, conducting our worship service online from Amazing Grace Lutheran Church, Green Bay, Wisconsin, on September 19th, 2021. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We bow our heads in prayer. We pray, Almighty God, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that he may rule and direct us according to your will, and comfort us in all our troubles and temptations. May he defend us from all error, and lead and keep us in the truth, so that we, being steadfast in the faith, may increase in love and Christian living. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us publicly confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We direct our attention to the reading of the Old Testament scripture lesson for this Sunday, the 16th Sunday after Trinity, which is recorded in the book of Job, chapter 5, verses 17 through 27. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. For he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in six troubles. Yes, in seven, no evil shall touch you. In famine, he shall redeem you from death, and in war, from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine, and you shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For you shall have a covenant with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with you. You shall know that your tent is in peace. You shall visit your dwelling and find nothing amiss. You shall also know that your descendants shall be many, and your offspring like the grass of the earth. You shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. Behold, this we have searched out. It is true. Hear it, and know for yourself. Here ends the reading of the Old Testament scripture lesson. The epistle lesson to which we direct our attention is written in the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the reading of the epistle. The Holy Gospel for this Sunday, the 16th Sunday after Trinity, is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. Here ends the reading of the Gospel. We continue with the sermon for this Sunday, the 16th Sunday after Trinity. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, and the only Savior for sinners, dear fellow redeemed. 40 days after Easter, Jesus gathered his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and after giving them some final instructions, he ascended into heaven visibly. His final word to the disciples referred to what they should be doing in the future. He said, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That is exactly what the disciples did. They stayed in Jerusalem for another 10 days until Pentecost, as they had been instructed to do. And then they began their witnessing in Jerusalem, and they reached out into the surrounding communities. However, the disciples died, and they did not get to the ends of the earth. We must understand that Jesus' assignment was not given only to the disciples, but it was given to the Holy Christian Church, which includes all believers in Jesus as their Savior. Thus, all Christians, until Jesus comes again on Judgment Day, are called to be Jesus' witnesses. You and I are included in Jesus' call. As we go about this work, we will experience the joy of witnessing as we hear people confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and their Savior. Then there will be other times as we go about witnessing when we might become frustrated as we hear people reject the Redeemer as their Savior. We might feel that God ought to do something else to demonstrate His power, or that God ought to use some other means to make Himself known. In the past, some people have had such thoughts. Centuries ago, a great man of God, the prophet Elijah, was at the point of giving up. He was expecting God to demonstrate His power in a miraculous way. Elijah had to learn that God has His own way of doing things. The Lord spoke to Elijah through a still, small voice. Our text is recorded in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. Elijah went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and God said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Possibly the most familiar Bible story with reference to the prophet Elisha is his great victory over the prophets of Baal. That victory was followed by the slaying of the heathen prophets, by the sending of rain in answer to Elijah's prayer, and by the people of Israel professing, "The Lord, He is God." After that chain of events, Elijah had high hopes that the children of Israel would return to the worship of the true Jehovah, and that the Queen Jezebel's efforts to make Baalism the state religion would fail. But the heathen queen defied the prophet of God and threatened to kill him. The result was that all the enthusiasm of the people turned cold quickly. With his high hopes dashed to the ground, Elijah turned and fled into the desert south of Beersheba. He was convinced that the true religion would fail in the face of the queen's opposition. He sat down under a juniper tree and he prayed to die. "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then the Lord came to him, and the angels miraculously provided him with food and something to drink. Then he was told to travel about 200 miles in a period of 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, where God wanted to talk to him. During that 40-day journey, he might have thought, "Why couldn't God speak to me where I was? Why does God want me to go 200 miles to a secluded spot?" Was he really in for something unusual? If he expected God to appear to him at Mount Horeb in a special way, he was in for a real letdown. At Mount Horeb, God spoke to him with a still, small voice. The still, small voice of the Lord was preceded by a soul-searching question. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah was the anointed prophet of God. He was responsible for proclaiming the word of God to the people of Israel. However, then he was out in the desert where no one was living. The Lord's question was to awaken Elijah to the fact that he could not run away from teaching and preaching to the children of Israel what God wanted them to hear for the sake of their salvation. Hiding in a cave and being separated from the people would not accomplish anything. Certainly at the time, the conditions among the children of Israel were terrible. However, when conditions are bad, and those who are appointed to make known the will of God withdraw themselves because they think the situation is hopeless, then the situation will never get any better. It will only get worse. Elijah was not fulfilling his divinely appointed work of proclaiming the word of God to people whom he felt had forsaken the true God. Every child of God is expected to speak the word of God in his or her community and in his or her particular position in life. But far too often, we fail, and then we are confronted with the question, "What are you doing here? Are you just passing your time in eating and drinking, in recreation and relaxation, in enjoying the life you are now living? What are you doing in your business or in your work?" How do we answer these questions? We should be echoing the still small voice of the Word of God. We should be witnessing with the message of Jesus. We should be witnessing with the message about our sin and our Savior. What was Elijah's answer to the question, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Elijah had had a great zeal to carry out the Lord's work. He worked hard to restore the worship of the one true God among his people, but he did not see the results for which he was looking. He did not see many outward signs of success. He became disgusted, and his zeal and devotion for doing the Lord's work grew cold. How often does our zeal for the Lord's work grow cold? When things do not progress as we would like to see them progress, then, like Elijah, we also often only complain. We complain against others, and we feel that no one else really cares about Christianity. I only am left. Only God knows how many have thrown up their hands and walked off the stage of life into their own little cave, into their own little world, and who now sit back and only complain how bad everything and everyone else is, except themselves. Indeed, most of the children of Israel had forsaken God's covenant. Repeatedly, they had rejected God's invitation of grace and mercy. They had thrown down the Lord's altars. They had killed the Lord's prophets. Conditions were far from what they should have been. Elijah should have seen that as a challenge, and as all the more a reason to put forth more effort and time to proclaim God's word. The same is true today. Nowhere in the world are conditions as they ought to be. Many people insist that there is not even a God. Many people refuse to believe God's message of mercy, which is offered to us in the gospel. Many refuse to listen to the still small voice of the gospel of Jesus. Even some who are affiliated outwardly with the church show very little concern about proclaiming the message of peace and pardon for sinners through faith in the atoning blood of Jesus. Today, too, there are those who throw down the Lord's altars. Many tear down the Lord's altars by not supporting the work of the church. Others tear them down with slander and gossip. Many an altar has never been built in a place where there ought to be one, simply because people's zeal and devotion have grown cold. What should we do? Leave the scene? Run away? Forsake it all? How great is our guilt if we run away from helping souls for whom Christ died. God does not want us to sit back and just complain. If some people would spend as much time in calling sinners to repentance and directing them to the crucified Christ as they spend complaining or doing nothing, I venture to say that by God's grace, the kingdom of Christ would grow by leaps and bounds. Elijah's complaint was, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I alone am left, and they seek to kill me." He underestimated the power of God's word. Soon Elijah would learn that he was wrong. he was not the only one left serving the true God. His teaching and preaching had not been in vain. When we think that it is all useless, then God says to us, as he said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." That is, go out and get a better and higher view. Go out and stand on the mountain of the Lord is significant for all who are hiding in their own little caves. Come out of the cave of complaining and go out and stand on the mount of the Lord. Come out of your own little world. Lift your sights and come to heights where you can see God's will and word with clearer vision. The mountain of the Lord symbolizes the place where his word is made known. Take another look. Take a good look into God's word. Take the refreshing look that comes to us from the green pastures of his word. Get a mountaintop view and see things in a new light. Elijah went to the mountain of the Lord, Mount Horeb, and we are told, "Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." This is symbolic of how God works in his church. There is the strong wind of the law, which uncovers our sins. The Ten Commandments shake the mountains of pride in the human heart and unsettle the rocks of self-righteousness. The fire of the law burns and convicts us of our sins. The law of God, with all its force, drives us out of the cave of carnal security. The law shows us how helpless and hopeless we are of ourselves. Then comes the still small voice, the still small voice of the gospel, with all its sweetness, with all its warmth, and it offers us the forgiveness for all our sins through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. The still small voice of the gospel removes all fear and terror from our hearts, and it comforts us and assures us of eternal life in heaven. Elijah's work had not been in vain, for the Lord said, "I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal," that is, the heathen god, "and every mouth that has not kissed him." The Lord assured Elijah that he was not the only one left. There were 7,000 people among the children of Israel who worshiped the one true God. As the Lord sought the fleeing prophet Elijah, so he comes today seeking you and me. He asks, "What are you doing here?" God wants us to listen closely to him, which is of utmost importance. We are surrounded in this world by so much commotion in life and by so much noise that often we don't hear the still small voice of God. Through the still small voice of the gospel, he is inviting and calling, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He invites you to come to another mountain, Mount Calvary. There we behold the suffering Savior, and we hear his assurance of complete redemption from sin, death, and the devil. As he cries out from the cross, "It is finished." While the wind, the earthquake, and the fire revealed the power of a just and holy God and served as a warning for those who reject the sin-atoning sacrifice of the Savior, only the still, small voice of the gospel has the power to change your life and to give you strength to go forth and live a life of service for the Savior. In the power of the gospel, we, like Elijah, should go forth knowing that our labor shall not be in vain. As individuals and as a congregation, we have enjoyed the blessings of God. Our labor has not been in vain. God has blessed our work. Weak souls are strengthened. New souls are added. Troubled hearts are comforted. Disturbed consciences are quieted. Strong souls become stronger. All because we listen to the still small voice of the gospel with its powerful message of peace and pardon through the blood of Christ shed on Calvary's cross. Greater things could have been accomplished in the past, and greater things can be accomplished in the future if we will listen to that voice very closely. Our text raises the question for each of us to answer. What are you doing here? What are you doing here in God's house today? Why did you really come? This question should frequently echo in our ears. What are you doing here? May your answer always be, "Lord, we are here to listen to your word, the word that shows us our sins, and we are listening to the still, small voice of the gospel, which tells us about Jesus, our Savior. Dear Lord, keep us listening and believing. Amen." We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you have sustained us all the days that we have lived. You have made yourself known to us in your holy word, and you have called us by the gospel to hope and peace in Christ. You have brought us together for the worship of your name. Accept our thanks for your mercy and help. Help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to honor and glorify you. If any among us are still in the bondage of sin, may your goodness lead them to repentance. If any have wandered from you, mercifully restore them. As you have blessed us in the past, so let your mercy be upon us evermore. Bless the ministrations of your servants at home and abroad, that by the power of your word, all unbelief and heresy may be kept from your church. Stir up the hearts and minds of your people to more vigorous faith, more earnestness of endeavor, more energy of self-consecration in the building of your kingdom. Hinder and suppress all bad influences that would undermine the order and peace of society. Remove from public office those who seek to hinder and destroy your church. Touch the hearts and consciences of people so that they will put forth efforts to end violence, war, and bloodshed. Protect and prosper all just government, all good laws, and righteous administration, that your people may be enabled to serve you in quietness and peace. Touch the hearts of those who are in authority, so that they will maintain justice, peace, and good order, and defeat and punish wickedness and all evil doing. Bless the work of the many doctors, nurses, and caretakers of the sick and the suffering, of both the young and the old, and protect us from the coronavirus pandemic. Bless all lawful occupations, that the laborer may have his reward, and impress upon the hearts of people everywhere their dependence upon you, that they may seek their salvation where alone it can be found. Send forth your gracious help to all countries, cities, and people on whom the hand of affliction rests, and overrule those who seek to hurt and harm us and even destroy us. Let not your anger come upon us as our sins have deserved, but pardon our iniquities, heal our souls, and grant us our portion with your saints in glory, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Frustrate and bring to naught all of the evil plotting and planning throughout the world, which is being done by many arrogant and ungodly evil people, including a multitude of many evil politicians and people in positions of power, and the evil people who are working dishonestly to the various agencies of the news media, all of whom are attempting to destroy our soul-saving Christian faith and hope. If it is your good and gracious will, remove from office those who willfully, persistently, and stubbornly fail to fulfill their elected responsibilities. Strengthen our saving faith in Jesus, the only Savior for all sinners. Send us on our way rejoicing as your witnesses, who rejoice to tell others about the one true God and about Jesus Christ, whom our Heavenly Father sent as the only Savior for all people. Move us to search and study your word diligently and prayerfully, as it is recorded in the Bible, the only source for what is taught in the Christian church. Bless all faithful pastors and teachers of your holy word. Keep them faithful to the teaching of the truths of both the law and the gospel. Moved by love for you and for the souls you have placed in their care, bring people to repentance and faith. Hear and answer our prayers according to your good and gracious will. We pray in our Savior's gracious name, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please join us each week online for a Christ-exalting worship service with scripture readings, prayers, a sermon, and the benediction. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet and Jesus feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. Amen.